In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit. Fifty days after the resurrection, we hear of the coming of the Holy Spirit and the birthday of the church. It's interesting that they had seen Christ multiple times. They had ate with him. He had restored their faith. Their doubted and fear had been transformed into a wonderful, overwhelming joy at the fact that they'd encountered the risen Christ. It says in the book of Acts, he taught them about the kingdom of God during this 50-day period up to Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit comes. But even though they'd seen the resurrection, even though they'd encountered the risen Christ, even though they'd been taught about the kingdom of God by the risen Jesus, still they needed more. And he told them to wait for the impartation of the coming of the Spirit, which happened on the day of Pentecost. And they were there praying together. Wonderful descriptions. It says that they were with one accord, ready to receive this new empowering. And I want to ask you today, have you ever thought, first of all, about the Spirit's work just generally in our life as we go about it here in our parish, in our world? Have you ever thought about that? Let me ask you this simple question before we get on to more detail about Pentecost itself. Have you ever wondered why there is so much good in the world? You see, most of us are preoccupied because we listen to the news. We have a distorted sense of our reality because we think it's all bad out there, and I can tell you it's not. All sorts of things come through the airwaves, through the radio, through the TV, through our phones, give us information that we therefore have a worldview about how things we think really are. And it's very distorted. It comes so often an algorithm, that information that's fed to us. Why is there so much good in the world? You see, I actually think people often come to me and say, Lyndon, why is there so much evil that we encounter? And there is real evil out there. But I can tell you this, the amount of good that's in the world is far overwhelming any evil really that we encounter. Far more. In our parish here today, we look after 12,000 people. Families will be going out through their life. People will be going to school next week. People will go into their jobs. Children will be fed. People will be cared for and nurtured. Okay, in our parish, there might be some difficulty with some people. Some people might be taken into hospital this week. Some people will die. But the amount of good that is out there is overwhelming in comparison to the amount of evil. And the reason that that goodness is there is because of the goodness of God. And the reason it's there is because it comes through the power of the Spirit, sustaining life as we know it. So those of us who rejoice in the coming of the Holy Spirit daily in our lives just need to rejoice in all that is so wonderful and so good. I guarantee you today that probably much of your mind is preoccupied with so much that is a struggle and difficult, and often we have a very distorted view of how reality is. The goodness that we will receive today. The glory of being in a place like this. The food that will come our way. The fact that we will sleep tonight in peace in this parish. And the just overwhelming goodness that just comes to us daily, that we take for granted, all through the power of the Spirit who sustains and gives life to all. So on Pentecost Sunday, a good start is just to thank God for his goodness, the goodness that you've known, and to repent of so often of our complaint, to repent of those things that we think actually dominate our world, and they really don't. We are surrounded by goodness. So my response to often when people come to me and say, what about all the struggles and the pain of the world? Yes, I believe it's there, and sometimes we don't know why it's there. But what about all the goodness that comes through the sustaining work and the glory of the Spirit? Hope you get that. Now, these disciples, it says in the book of Acts, are unschooled and uncultured men and women. It gives a description as you go through Acts. It says of them by the leaders of the time, the Jewish leaders, it says that they were egrammatoi idiotes. Egrammatoi idiotes, ungrammatical idiots. And yet amazing through the power of the Spirit in their life, as a result of the day of Pentecost, suddenly they become more articulate. They have a new boldness. And suddenly the church explodes onto history and transforms it in a few centuries. And it turns Rome upside down. And this all comes about through the power of the Spirit. I was driving across France with Barbara from Paris down to a place called Limoges and then on to a place called Brive, hundreds of miles a few weeks ago. And I was thinking as I was looking across the countryside, seeing all the churches in France, now largely a secular country, as how would it be possible that all these places will come alive again? And the empty pews that are in them would suddenly be full of families and friends, and they would suddenly rediscover Christianity. I thought to myself, how would this be possible? Thinking also about our own nation, how can the church be revitalized and re-empowered so it becomes transformative and a transformative, powerful fire in our nation? How could it be possible? And I was reminded that it's been done once before. Here's the story. Here they were, 12 uneducated men, suddenly empowered by the Spirit. So on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people suddenly become followers of Jesus. And these unschooled, uneducated men transformed the world in the power of the Spirit. I thought, it's possible again. It can be done. So, how can the church reach the world again? It can only be done by the power of the Spirit, so we need to pray, come Holy Spirit. How can we communicate with a hostile world that is indifferent to the Christian faith? And by the way, large, very different from the world that those first Christians encountered, because they wanted to kill them. That's true in certain parts of the world, but by and large, that's not the story for the vast of the population. They wanted to kill the early Christians. How can we speak to a culture that is so indifferent? It can only be done by the power of the Spirit. How can we overcome cynicism and objections to the Christian faith and the indifference and the hardness of heart that is out there? It can only be come by the power of the Spirit. You see, it won't come through programs. It will not come through slick marketing. It will not come because suddenly people are more educated and the church is more educated and we've got degrees and PhDs or we've gone to the best universities. No, there is only one way that ultimately the church can really be effective and bring compassion and love and transform the world around it. It can only be done by the power of the Spirit. And that's why Pentecost Sunday is so important, because you and I need the Spirit. Think about this. It gave the early Christians an incredible boldness to face the world. Remember, Peter was an uneducated fisherman from a backdrop little village, suddenly empowered in the Spirit, and he becomes the leader of the church. Who is this man? Where does he come from? Transformed by the power of the Spirit. Let me ask you, in your workplace, do you talk about the Lord and share your faith? Reluctant, holding back, unsure, lacking confidence. What about all the objections? Can I tell you what you need? You need the power of the Spirit. In a world that is so indifferent to the Christian faith that you face daily as you go on your tube maybe into work, or maybe the people that you rub up against in your workplace, how do you equip yourself to overcome the objections? What you need? You need the power of the Spirit. In a world where families are broken and cultures no longer sit together comfortably, where we live in our own nation in silos, how do we address the situation and bring wholeness and healing? We need the power of the Spirit. And our programs and our marketing and our slick campaigns will never meet the task, because without the power of the Spirit, it is empty. It's a bit like an electrical instrument that needs to be plugged into electricity. Unless you go to the source of the power, that electrical instrument is useless. It needs a power. It's like a sail that needs the wind. Without the wind, it is useless. It's like an engine that needs oil. Without the oil, it just seizes up. And as we've seen this last week with the glory of the rain that we've received, it's like a dry garden that's literally dying unless the rain comes to refresh and give it life. We need the power of the Spirit. You see, I feel that so often what we've encountered in church is not the power of the life-giving Spirit that we see here. As I heard somebody once say, he says, what we've encountered is not the life-giving power of the Spirit that comes with a gentle dove, but we've encountered pigeon religion. Pigeon religion is, I can do this on my own, and you can't. Pigeon religion is having a form of godliness and professing faith, but having no power. Pigeon religion is just going through routines, but not being connected with the source and the supply that comes from the living God. It's pigeon religion. And if we've just encountered in church pigeon religion, it's no wonder why churches die and they close and they're empty. Because you see, where the Spirit is, there is life. Where there is life, there is growth. So if you look at those churches that are growing across our nation, you can see very often they have a wonderful open invitation to the working and the power of the Spirit. We don't need pigeon religion. And the great news is this, that on the birthday of the church, everyone is welcome. And our diversity here in St. Andrew's is a wonderful statement of the reflection of the power of the Spirit that brings life and welcomes everybody, all nations. And that's why we got you to read that passage of Scripture from Acts, when it describes that all these people suddenly hear God's praise in their own language. Isn't that wonderful? This is real. So as you go into this week, Pray, Lord, in my encounter with my family, maybe the struggles that are there, fill me with your Spirit. As I go into my workplace, into the hospital, the place that I serve, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. As I want to communicate my faith, and so often I step back, I'm reluctant to speak for you, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. And as I look at the world and I see all the struggle and how we will bring wholeness and healing, we need to pray for the church who ministers in that place. Lord, fill us with your Spirit. Because it's the Spirit that gives us confidence to speak. It's the Spirit that comforts us in our difficulty. And it's the Spirit that gives us compassion to reach out so that we make self-sacrifices that bring healing in the places where we go. You see, Christianity is impossible. We say week by week, teach us to love God and to love our neighbor ourselves. It's impossible in your own strength. That's just pigeon religion. You need the power of the Spirit to enliven you. So every day as you go out the door, say, Lord, fill me with your Spirit today so that I can bring life to those people that I encounter, that I can be part of the healing, that I can bring compassion, and I can bring change, because that's what he called us to do. The last prayer that we pray Sunday by Sunday is this: send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and to work. Your work is a holy place, to live and work to your praise and glory. On the day of Pentecost, the church was sent. Amen. So let's be quiet for a moment. Maybe you've just encountered pigeon religion. Maybe in your own home and in your own heart, in your own personal life, you need the Spirit. We all do. Maybe you've been reluctant to speak out for Christ. Maybe you've remained silent. Or perhaps your life is just overwhelmed with things that are bad and you don't see the good. You don't see the Spirit out there working. So for all of us today, we pray that we will be renewed, that we will be changed. Gentle dove, send us your life-giving Spirit, we pray. Amen.